الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has yet again favored us with such a beautiful day and such a beautiful occasion, the occasion of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is something that we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take advantage of these opportunities, because we don't know whether we will get another opportunity. How often we hear somebody who was with us in our masjid and suddenly this person has been afflicted with some sickness, the person is in hospital, or somebody has passed away, somebody is no longer with us, and it happened instantly. We never expected it. The person was fit, the person was healthy, and suddenly the person is not around. So every time we see an incident like this, we must think that this could have been us. This could have been us. This is how the Buzrugs would think. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion, he was sitting with his students, and one lady had come in, a beggar. Now, those people that have went to India, they know that those beggars also are master beggars. They're not like our beggars. They are masters in begging, and the way they speak and the way they talk, if you give them something, they'll show you so much of gratitude. And if you don't give them something, the amount of curses you get, you'll feel, I wish I had given this person, I didn't hold back anything, because of the curses that they would give you. So anyway, this woman had come with her, she had come there and she was crying and she was pleading, that she says that I don't have enough money to buy kafan for my child that just passed away. What a thing she said, that I don't have enough money, so give me some money so that I can buy some kafan for the child. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, that time, he had taken out the 50 rupees and he had given this woman. So the students around there, they said, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, you know what, we find this strange. You know and we know that this was a story that was made up. That suddenly a woman just walks in here and she don't have 50 or she don't have some money to buy a kafan and you gave her. So he said, I've done it batore shukr. I've done it, I've given that money out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I could have been that lady that was begging and that lady could have been me sitting here. But you had made it the reverse, that she is the one that is asking and I am the one that is sitting. Out of shukr to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am giving this money. So whenever we hear an incident where somebody just goes away, somebody passes away, some tragedy, always think that we could have been in that shoes. And what if we were there, were we ready to face maut? Were we ready to face that sickness? Were we ready and prepared for that occasion? So therefore a Muslim is always one at every opportunity he prepares. So we see now this is like a new year. Although this is not an Islamic New Year. Islamic New Year is Muharram. But because it is an academic New Year, many people are going back to school, back to work, etc. So the mind already is thinking now this is a New Year. So the programming is started. And we see that the kuffar have got something known as a resolution. When the New Year comes, everyone takes a resolution. But the resolution also doesn't mean much. Very often you'll find a person, he's got a wine bottle on the side, hiding it in the bottom. And he says, I take a resolution that I will never drink wine. And the moment the camera is off him, he starts pushing the thing again. So this is what that resolution is. But a Muslim's resolution is one that he constantly takes. Constantly. He doesn't wait for occasion. He doesn't wait for Mother's Day for him to show some love to his mother. He doesn't wait for Father's Day to show some love to his father. He doesn't wait for New Year to take a resolution. But this constantly throughout the year, he's showing kindness to his mother. He's showing kindness to his father. Constantly he's taking a resolution with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I slipped up. I shouldn't have committed this guna, but I have committed this guna. So constantly he goes and he makes this niyat. Because niyat is such a thing, is something that is internal, it cannot be seen externally. And niyat means a lot. So externally we find that to do something that looks very attractive is very easy, but what's in the heart that is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go to Madina Sharif, generally a person goes for ziyarat, he goes to one masjid called Masjid-e Quba. Masjid-e Quba was that masjid where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made hijrat, he stayed there for approximately 14 days. He stayed there and he worked amongst those people and he lived amongst them. And he took a liking for the people of Quba. And then when Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasalam established and his home was established, then he moved on. But that liking that he had for this masjid, that every Saturday he would make it a point of coming to Masjid-e Quba and reading salat. And one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من تطهر في بيته ثم أتى مسجد قباء وصلى ركعتين كأجر عمرة أو كما قال عليه proceeds to مسجد قباء. He reads two rakats in مسجد قباء. He gets the sawab of making an umrah. So much reward there is. Now near مسجد قباء, there was a person by the name of Abu Amir. He was a Christian monk. So what he did was, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to Medina Sharif, he went and he approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he spoke to him, but he wasn't happy with the answers that he got. Because he wanted some position, now he realized that I'm not going to get the position because Islam is taking over. So he wasn't happy with the answers that he got from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he made a curse. And he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking now that I am of equal level, I am a priest. And now I am a Christian, and I am also a monk, so I can now challenge him. So he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whichever one of us is lying, may he pass away far away from his friends and his family, and may he pass away on travel. So anyway, when the different battles took place, the battle of Uhud took place, he went and he sided with the mushrikeen. And now when the battle of Hunain took place, and now he seen that such a major tribe was defeated, the Hawazin, so he realized that there is no hope for him for here, so he fled and he went to Syria. And when he went to Syria, he had written to the Munafiqeen of Medina Sharif. I'm showing you sometimes outwardly it may appear so brilliant and so nice, but inwardly if it's not correct, if the niyat is not right inside, it means nothing. So what he did was he wrote to them and he said, I am trying to get the Byzantine Empire, I am trying to get the leader here to prepare an army, that at that time it was a very, very formidable army, to try and assist to come to bring this Roman army now to come and attack the Muslims and get rid of the Muslims. But internally what you do is you build one masjid there. Outwardly make this masjid look nice, look presentable. And what you do is use this masjid to store arms and to gather power against the Muslims. So that we got an outward force that is coming, and internally you've already gathered a force from within Medina Sharif. So what he did was he conspired with 12 people and they built a masjid. Now can you imagine, this masjid is famously known as Masjid al-Dirar. When you go, they'll show you the spot also, that this is where Masjid al-Dirar was built. So they had built this masjid, and can you imagine, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a masjid was built. It was built in Medina Sharif, and what they had done, and they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we had built this masjid so that it makes it easier for the old people, the weak people, the sick people. Now they don't have to travel all the way to Masjid al-Quba, they can read the Salaya, making it very easy for them. And then they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would like you to inaugurate this masjid. You be like our guest of honor. You come and perform one salah in the masjid also. So look at how many ticks in the box. They built a masjid in Medina Sharif, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to help the needy, to help those that are weak. And they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the guest of honor, to perform one salah, to honor that masjid and to bless that masjid. So it was around the time of Tabuk. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told them that I'm preparing to go out for the expedition of Tabuk. When I come back, then I will perform salah in the masjid. So this is outwardly what they presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the return trip, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming, just before he entered Medina, the ayat of Quran was revealed. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَا يَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those people that build the masjid, telling Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam via Jibreel that those people that build the masjid, dirara, they built it to cause harm, wa kufra, to spread kufr, wa tafriqam bain al-mu'mineen, to cause division between the believers, wa irsadal liman harab Allah wa rasula, and they're using it as a base, and a base of preparation, using it as a position to create preparation to attack the Muslims, liman harab Allah wa rasulahu min qabl. And who actually is that person that has declared already? He had already declared war with Allah subhanahu wa min harab Allah wa rasulah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before. Then Allah Pak tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what these people are saying, wala yahlifunna, over and above building that masjid in Medina Sharif in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're taking oaths. In aradna illa al-husna, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking oath to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking oath in Allah, O Nabi alayhi wa sallam, we only wish good from this masjid. We only want good. In aradna illa al-husna, Allah Pak says, wallahu yashhadu innahum lakadibun. Allah Pak is testifying that these people are lying. So one is outward and one is inward. Then Allah Pak tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لا تقوم فيه أبدا. Don't stand there ever. Don't even enter that masjid. Don't perform salah there. لا مسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه. That masjid that is nearby, which is Masjid Quba, that masjid is more worthy of you performing your salah in. Why? That masjid was the foundation of that masjid was taqwa. Therefore, ulama explained that when a masjid is built, the merit of a masjid is not the amount of minarets and the amount of gloss it got outside and the amount of decoration it got inside, but with what sincerity that masjid was built. And so Allah Pak is praising that sincerity of the masjid. Ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawm. From the first day, that masjid was built with taqwa. أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا. In that masjid are people, such nice people, they take pride in their taharat, they love their taharat. والله يحب المطهرين. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining the condition of the heart. He says, لا يزال بنيانهم الذي بنوا ريبة في قلوبهم إلا أن تقطع قلوبهم. That if you know what's hidden in the heart, outwardly it looks so beautiful. What? They built a masjid, they built it to help the poor, the needy, the weak, etc. But Allah Pak says that these people will continue from the masjid that they built will continue leaving them in doubt. إِلَّا أَن تَقَطَّعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Except if you cut their hearts open, then you'll realize what these people have got in their hearts. So having that iman, having that intention, having that right intention is something else, and outwardly displaying is something else. So this is what is required of us. When we are returning now to our work, returning to the school, ask ourselves, what is that niyat in our heart? What do we expect? So that ayat I read in the khutbah, Allah Pak says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kafa. There was a rabbi, and a very, very great rabbi, the head of rabbis of Medina. He was by the name of Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu. He accepted Islam later. So he was from the Banu Qaynuqa, from the tribe, Jewish tribe. And he was not only the rabbi, but the head of all the rabbis in Medina. So he says himself, but he was genuine in his heart. He was sincere in his heart. He says that I went to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I heard a lot, but I went to see for myself. And he says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ. When I seen the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I realized that this is not the face of a liar. This face itself is not the face of a liar. So anyway, that incident is long about what he saw and what he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all good things. But the point I want to make is he is Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu an. He says that at that time I thought to myself that let me do a balancing act. Let me do some type of balancing act where I was a head of the Jewish people, that what I want to do is on a Saturday we are told not to do any business. Jewish people to do business on a Sabbath is like haram. So what, and Islam doesn't force you, Islam doesn't tell you it is for us to do business on a Saturday. So what I will do is just to keep Islam happy, that Islam is not saying that it's for us to do, and here Judaism is saying it's haram to do business. So what I do is I'll choose not to do business on a Saturday. So I'm doing some type of act. So Islam is also, I'm in agreement with Islam, and also I am keeping to the laws of Judaism. So then these ayats were revealed, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. O you who believe, enter Islam totally. Enter Islam 100%. This is what mindset we should enter this period, this academic year, going back to school, going back to work, going back to occupation, is that we want to enter Islam 100%. Ulama explained this means two things. One is when a person enters Islam totally, his eyes enter Islam 100%. How my eyes are expected to do, how my eyes are expected to behave as far as Islam is concerned, that's how my eyes must behave. How my ears are expected to enter Islam, that's how my ears must behave. How my tongue is expected to enter Islam, that's how my tongue must behave. How my heart and my body and my soul is expected to enter Islam, that's how I should enter Islam. One explanation. Another explanation ulama gave is that I enter Islam totally. I don't select that, okay, I'll give charity, but I won't read my Fajr Salah. I enter Islam 100%. I read all my Salah, whether it's Fajr Salah, Maghrib Salah, Zuhur Salah, Asr Salah, Isha Salah. I enter 100%. When it comes to Zakat, I enter 100%. I give my Zakat in full. I don't hold back as far as my Zakat is concerned. When it comes to respect of parents, elders, neighbors, looking after staff, I'm very, very careful of this. In fact, this is something, unfortunately, which is a very, very big scourge in our society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I've seen just now in this December closing period, two types of people. One type of people where they looked after their staff. In other words, they paid their staff properly. They gave them nice salaries. They promised them to give them increases. So their staff, by giving them that extra payment, looking after them, they gave them so much of du'as. One musalli actually sent me, he said, "Mulana, look at this du'a my staff sent. What a beautiful du'a. So much of du'as the staff gave." Why? Because this person looked after him, so he appreciated what that boss did. And the reality, the hakikat of the matter is, what a person is earning in his business, in reality is through the work of his staff. So one type of people are those that look after their staff, and they take the du'as of that staff. The du'as of the staff is what will give barakat in the business. It's not the amount that is being turned and churned, and the amount you're saving by holding back and dropping the salary expense. That is not going to bring the barakat. In fact, by increasing the salary expense to try and honor and look after the staff, that will bring more revenue, that will bring more income. If it doesn't bring more income, what it will do is it will give barakat in the income. So that is one aspect. And then I've seen other people where people complain and they're crying that, "Forget our boss looking after us, they've actually reduced our salary." One person came crying, he said, "You know my boss, please speak to him, that he changed my salary structure from a weekly salary, from a weekly wage, he changed it to a monthly, and in doing so, what he has done now, he's actually reduced my salary. All my expenses are going up every year, but my salary has come down. Please speak to him. I'm battling, I can't come out every month, and I'm his main key staff, I'm doing all the work for him, but he doesn't want to increase." So anyway, brothers, this is when a person comes into Islam totally, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, he just also comes into Islam. It's not that he's gone overseas for holiday, and he's gone with his family and friends, and the staff are crying here. This person enters into Islam 100%, his namaz, his charity, his welfare, his kindness, looking after the staff, looking after the family, looking after those in need. There was one person that his father was hospitalized very recently. Father was hospitalized, now the brothers amongst themselves are saying that, "Who's going to pay for the hospital expenses? That we can't pay for the hospital expenses." All wealthy people. So what they did was they put this person into Eddington Hospital. After a few days he passed away. In that condition, everyone knows what the condition is. If people have got the funds, they got the money, they should spend it in avenues like this rather than just busting it. So they were debating who's going to pay, how are we going to pay so much. And within 1 or 2 weeks, all the family members, with their whole families, were all gone different parts of the world, holiday. And this person passed away in the hospital. So therefore, this entering into Islam totally means a person enters with his mind, enters with his heart, enters totally into Islam and taking all the tenets and the requirements of Islam. My time is up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of entering this new academic year, not a new Islamic year, but academic year, in such a way that we enter fully as true Muslims with our niyat correct, in such a way that people look up to us and they say, "This is how a Muslim is and this is how I want to be." Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.